Well, it is wonderful. My name is Christophe Corchane from Conservation Law Foundation. I'm the staff attorney for New Hampshire, and it is wonderful to be here among friends and to see this continued really explosion of grassroots energy around this issue. And what's been striking to me is that folks in this room care about so many different parts of this issue, from the landscape impacts to what it means for our energy system. I'll talk a little bit today about the alternatives to Northern Pass that have become clearer over time. We focused a lot of energy at the Conservation Law Foundation on the permitting process and what it will entail. And one of the questions that I've gotten is, why are alternatives important? Why do we need to think about them? Well, for one thing, it's legally required that the permitting processes consider alternatives. The federal and the state process are really about trying to make a decision about what makes sense for the state, for the country. And it's really, really hard to make a good decision, and it's impossible to make a legal decision without considering the full range of alternatives to really what is the first idea. You know, Northern Pass came up with an idea. It's probably not the best idea, as we all know. If you think of the first idea you've ever had about any problem you're trying to solve, it's probably not the first one you came up with. It's the one that you think through all the ramifications, all the impacts, and you try to make a good decision. That's what these permitting processes are about legally. It's also good decision making. So CLF has put together some information. I've shared the thumbnail sketch of it with all of you on your seats. You know, what are the alternatives to Northern Pass? The first question we have to ask is, what are we trying to accomplish? Are we trying to get more power? Are we trying to get more power from Canada? Are we trying to meet the energy needs of the region? Those are all different potential goals. Let's start thinking about, what if we have a view that we want or need more power from Canada? We can question that goal, but let's just assume that's what our goal is. If you compare Northern Pass to published information on two projects that are really about doing the same thing, about bringing power that from resources in the north to southern New England, where all the customers are, we look at, and actually the New York City area as well, we look at the Champlain-Hudson Power Express process project, which is much farther along than Northern Pass, and we look at the Northeast Energy Link project in Maine. Ironically, both of those projects, despite not having encouraged the loud public debate we've had in New Hampshire about Northern Pass, there's more information available on those two projects in terms of the cost estimates than there is for Northern Pass. But leaving that aside, we ran the numbers based on the published information that these large companies, National Grid in the case of Northeast Energy Link, and Blackstone Group, one of the nation's leading private equity companies in the case of Champlain Hudson, what they estimated their construction costs would be to bury lines underground in active transportation corridors. And what we've heard back from Northern Pass repeatedly from the very first day of this project being announced was that burial is 10 times the cost. Or more recently, in some of the detailed hearings that Senator Forrester chaired on the SB 361 Commission, we've heard 3 to 4 times the cost to bury lines. And if you run these numbers based on the published information, we are not talking about a lot more than what Northern Pass is. Northern Pass at $4.7 million a mile, if you exclude the converter station, which is a big cost. If you look at Champlain-Hudson, we're at $5.4 million a mile. Northeast Energy Link at $6.5 million a mile, and that's very comparable to the terrain that we're dealing with Northern Pass. We ran our own estimate with the help of a transmission consultant to try to ground truth these numbers. We had a transmission consultant look into this and said, what if we buried a transmission line in a highway or a softened transportation corridor, that look project that looks like Northern Pass in terms of its energy? And it turns out that's $5.3 million a mile, which is very close to Northern Pass. That's the real information. It's not the talking points you hear in the newspaper articles from the PSNH spokespeople. That's real information published by these companies and by our transmission consultant, who is nationally regarded. So that's one way of getting power down, is to build more transmission, and that's one alternative, is to bury it, which is practical and reasonable according to these numbers, and should receive full consideration. Now, let's assume the new information that Susan previewed is that National Grid, which operates that phase two high voltage direct current line that runs from Canada to Massachusetts. I drove by it today in Rumney. It's not the prettiest thing you've ever seen, but it was built. It's there. If one of the things I provided was a chart which shows that 8 months of the year there's more than 600 megawatts of capacity on that line that is not being used right now. So that's half of Northern Pass that could be provided for most of the year without another transmission tower. This is the type of alternative that... Is that a better idea? It seems like that would make a lot of sense if our goal is to bring down more power. Let's try that first, perhaps. But the conversation should be kind of broader than broader than assuming that we want to bring more power down, in our view. I think if we look at the energy alternatives to Northern Pass, one is to increase the amount of clean, renewable energy in New England. That's one alternative that's out there. I provided a little information on what the New England states are trying to do together on that. The other alternative, if you flip over the chart that I handed out, this is really interesting information for those of you who kind of think about energy efficiency and the way your house operates, and, you know, seeing all the snow-covered roofs in winter, and if you drive by and you see an open roof despite the fact that there's 2 feet of snow on the ground, you know that house is probably not the most efficient, isn't well insulated. And so we have a lot we can do on energy efficiency, on using less power. And on this chart, it shows that based on everything that's on the books right now, all the programs that are on the books, nothing new, we will save by 2022 what 20 terawatt hours a year through energy efficiency programs in the New England states. Northern Pass is only going to provide at most a quarter of that power. So then finally, you know, so we have a lot we can do on an energy basis. I do want to point out another thing. What if our goal is to improve the environment and reduce our energy rates? That's a couple of the goals that have been discussed as a rationale for pursuing this project. The Public Utilities Commission on Friday released a report that said that the premium that PSNH customers are paying to operate these coal-fired and oil-fired units from the 50s and 60s that Public Service Company of New Hampshire owns. The premium we're all paying is more than 2 cents a kilowatt hour and going up, really as far as the eye can see, so that we would be paying, according to this report, 4 cents a kilowatt hour in the coming years more than we need to. So the solution here that's on the table under this Public Utilities Commission report, tell PSNH to sell those power plants off or retire them, we will improve the environment immeasurably, reduce the carbon dioxide emissions by as much or more than what Northern Pass is promising, falsely, by the way, and we will have energy rates in New Hampshire, which are the same as in Massachusetts and Maine, and that will be a savings for regular residential customers of as much as $40 a month. That seems like a good solution to us. So I'll leave it at that. These are alternatives that should be on the table, and they need to be part of the permitting process, and we will be in the future giving you opportunities, trying to reach out so that you have the places in the permitting process to get involved, to raise your voice in favor of consideration of alternatives, and we'll be providing that opportunity. So I really appreciate being invited to participate today, and I appreciate the hard work of so many people on this project sustained for so long. It is really awe-inspiring to a guy like me who's typically the one guy at the hearing for a lot of the issues we work on. So thank you very much.